This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is back and on the air with episode 432 for Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. My name is Martin Spriggs, and you've joined a show about technology and ministry where we try and find those intersections and share that with you and also take your feedback and learn from you as well. Thanks again for joining us. And as always, by my digital side from New Ulm, Minnesota, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, welcome to Lent.
Well, thank you, sir. Happy to join you again this week. And I just have to give full disclaimer. If anybody wants autographs or anything, you are talking to the Sunday front page, Sally Draper from New Ulm, Minnesota.
The Sunday front page. What does that mean?
I made it on the front page of the New Ulm Journal with this lovely picture of me in my grungy clothes working at the Treasure House. We were having a big day with our local thrift shop. It supports Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School and other Wells and ELS charities. And we recently purchased a new building. So we were moving in on Saturday, and the newspaper guy showed up, and I was the one who gave him the tour. And he told me to show off our new dressing rooms that we're building. And I said, well, I could be Vanna White. And I held out my hand in Vanna White style. And he was like, yeah, do that.
Action shots. So, did you hang that drywall yourself there?
I did, and did all that taping and everything, every bit of it. It was me. No, I took pictures during the day. That was my job. That's all I did. But it was a great day. We had that's right, like 30 people there. So it was a really exciting day, and we're counting down to opening on March 7th. It's a big move for us. So
awesome. So do you have to close things down for a while then during the move?
No, actually, we're keeping the other store open and trying to sell it out down to the wall so we don't have to move the remaining merchandise from there. But we'll close there on a Saturday evening just like normal and open on Monday morning in the new store. Interesting group to get involved with. I just happen to be on the board currently. And there's resale shops supporting our Wells High Schools all across the country, actually. And yep. They kind of network together and share ideas and things. So that's pretty cool to see. And just a huge blessing. I think Treasure House has been in existence for over 30 years now and has given more than $1 million to MVL. So it's pretty impressive what hands working together can do. Volunteers, actually. Yeah,
that's awesome. And now another chapter in their history. That's pretty cool.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of chapters, chapter 6 of With All Your Heart, our little book that we're writing over the course of this season, you want to say. Every month we write a new chapter on project management as it focuses specifically on churches, schools, and kind of other faith-based organizations, basically Christian organizations, because there's kind of a special flavor, I think, or we think, to project management and those kinds of institutions. And maybe one of the differentiators between project management in a company, corporation, that kind of thing, and a church or a school is the topic of our chapter today, which is the reliance on volunteers. And we saved, you know, we're kind of in the home stretch of this book, and we saved this chapter for one of the later chapters, I think with good reason, because you kind of need to build up to it. And volunteers are such an important topic when you're trying to get stuff done in a church or a school. But there's a lot of complexity to it. There are a lot of challenges to it. But God gives us some guidance there, and we kind of wove that through the chapter as we normally do.
Definitely a topic worth addressing, Martin. And I think, you know, we can be very kind of put our blinders on and be very specific about using volunteers on specific projects. But we also probably need some strategic thinking about volunteers in general so that it's easy to plug them in the projects that we need their help on. So kind of a global look at volunteers, not just project specific. And then we get a little more granular as we talk about how we can use them on projects. But such a wonderful blessing to the church. I can think of just back to our WellSet conference and how volunteers helped us pull off that event and how we just couldn't have done it without their help. And Leslie Bergman, I'm thinking of you specifically, but many people were involved. And I just really appreciate that. And I think you have to really nurture that volunteer relationship to keep it positive and not burn people out and stuff. So.
Yep. And you just gave a nice example of volunteers in action with your Treasure House move too. Couldn't be done without those people giving up their time on a weekend or whenever it is, and all the numerous meetings, and just a truly a volunteer organization making an enterprise happen.
Definitely.
So one thing we did in the chapter, as we have in many or in all the chapters, was we try and base it on a portion of scripture, and we've used the example of Nehemiah, one of those Old Testament leaders who brought the building project back into the forefront of the people's view as they were sitting there in Jerusalem, and they had a deteriorated wall surrounding Jerusalem, and he got them motivated. And one of those, and these were all volunteers as well. There were no paid craftsmen that he employed to rebuild this wall. These were all just regular old people, like me and you, who were living there with the wall in ruins, and he got them going. And there were some takeaways from that chapter, from those chapters in Nehemiah, that we're kind of weaving in throughout this chapter and other chapters. And maybe one of the biggest questions for this chapter, as we talk about volunteers, is how did he get them to do it? And there were three kind of major reasons how he was able to encourage and bring this volunteer group together. And the first reason, I think, was kind of a built-in one, and that God really created people to want to be in community, to work with one another, to help each other, to encourage each other, to join forces and do something. That's really the concept that builds our churches, too. We could certainly worship by ourselves, but God did not wire us up that way. He made us to kind of want to meet together, join together, and do things.
Definitely, it's a blessing, not just as an individual, but to see the work of the corporate unified force and to know that you are a part of it and know that you have specific skills that contribute in an area that free up people to do other things or whatever it may be. I mean, it's a win-win-win, I think. And obviously the results are much greater than you could do as individuals.
Right. The second reason, I think, as we look at their situation with Nehemiah in particular, is this new leader of theirs was able to convince them that they ought to invest and kind of be owners rather than renters. So, and that's really a key for any kind of volunteer activity, is to move somebody from, well, I'll try it out, I'll see if I can do it, to I'm really invested in this, I'm going to take pride in what I'm doing, and I'm going to own it. And you can kind of see the transformation in the people in Nehemiah. Nehemiah's time, but also I think as we look at our own volunteer crews, where it's not just, well, I can donate an hour. It's like, you can't keep me away. I own this.
Yes, and then the third reason that you mentioned in the chapter, Martin, is that Nehemiah demonstrated this himself as a servant leader. He wasn't locked away in his office letting the minions do the work. He was there working with them and very invested himself. He had a vision. He had that ownership feeling, and he inspired his workers to feel the same way and to work that hard.
Yeah, and it wasn't just about him, his little personal project. It was something bigger than himself, bigger than the collective group that was there. This was God's work, and that was important. So, kind of with that in mind, we kind of explored each of those areas a little bit more as we move through. And there's a couple key things when you're trying to build that community and hooking people up and making sure that they're getting together. One of them is trying to gather them. It's trying to find out who you have that might be available to join the team. And that's this gathering process, identifying them and then recruiting them. And there are lots of resources, technical resources for that these days. We mentioned a couple of member management kinds of solutions. Shepherd staff, I know a lot of our congregations use, and they can use that for volunteer management. Church 360, the members module does the same thing. Those are both from Concordia, available through our ShopWells program. You get discounts on those. But almost any member management software package is going to allow you to track volunteers and their gifts, their time and their talent information. And that's another part of it, too, is gathering that time and talent information through surveys. And fortunately, we've been able to gather over the years some good examples of some of these time and talent surveys that you can take advantage of.
Definitely. We have a page on the Wells Tech Wiki dedicated to that. It has different surveys, some for teens, some for adults. Some of them are in PDF format, and you can download them. Some of them are in Word format, and you could actually edit them and customize them to your use. So take a look at that page with the different time and talent surveys we have posted.
And if you don't want to use one of those, if you want to kind of build your own, there are all kinds of forms tools that are available. And that is one of our tool time focuses. We have little tool time segments throughout this chapter. And the first one is something called Jot Forms. And we've talked a little bit about that in the past. We've maybe given a little more time to Google Forms. It's kind of a similar product, but maybe takes it to the next level. Very sophisticated tool. We use it here at the Synod level to build a number of our forms, and it has the ability to give you a customized look. You can design it the way you want. You can do branching, decision-based branching, so if somebody answers a question this way, you can take them down this branch, or that way, take them down that branch. You can take payments, very customizable. You can embed it on your own website, so it can look just like a part of your website and is a nice addition to, I think, anybody's tool set when they're trying to figure out how to capture information from people that are coming to your site.
And certainly, as you mentioned, we've talked about Google Forms in the past. Google Forms can do many, many of those things. Not payment. At this time, you can't get payment with Google Forms, maybe with an add-on. I'm not familiar with that, though. But certainly, if you're in the Google Apps for Education space or for business, you might want to explore the functionalities of Google Forms. They just announced this week, Martin, a whole bunch of enhancements to Google Forms, and I haven't had a chance to dig in yet and play with those, but I'm really looking forward to sharing that on the podcast in the future.
Awesome. And then just one last concept here in this community section in the chapter, and that's this concept of recruiting, which is really one of, I think, the biggest challenges that every church or school may face. How do you go out and get these volunteers to join the effort? And a couple of suggestions, and I've encouraged congregations to think and schools to think about maybe dedicating a person that I would maybe call a volunteer coordinator who's responsible for that effort, for maintaining the databases, for making sure they're aware of the time and talented people, the time and the gifts available within the congregation or school that are maybe willing to donate their time and their gifts to a particular project, maintaining that that whole ecosystem of volunteers, rather than just kind of leaving it up to every individual project leader to say, well, go find your volunteers. Why not make it somebody's responsibility to coordinate that?
Great segue into our interview for this week, Martin, and the fact that we had the opportunity to sit down with the good folks at St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in New Ulm. Happens to be my home congregation, and I even took my camera over so that I could sit with them in real time, and we called you up and did the interview earlier. We want to play that interview at this point, introduce you to Lynette Charlemagne and Jeff Boyce, who are both part of the member ministry team at St. Paul's. I'm happy to welcome today. I'm doing the roving reporter thing, so I'm here at St. Paul's in New Ulm, and happy to welcome Jeff Boyce and Lynette Charlemagne, who are folks that are part of our member ministry team here at St. Paul. So welcome, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, our focus today is volunteerism in congregations and schools, and
We thought this would be a great fit to talk to you guys about member ministry here at St. Paul's. So before we do that, I'd love it if maybe you'd introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your role here at St. Paul's. Any other fun things you want to share?
Okay, my name is Lynette Charlemagne, and I've been member ministry coordinator here at St. Paul's for about 2 years. And before that, I did a lot of work in stewardship committees and that kind of thing. I've always been a very avid and active volunteer. I like getting out and doing things. So it was a very good fit for me right from the start. And when we first started doing member ministry, we put together a team of volunteers that make up the member ministry team. And Jeff was one of those that we recruited early on because we could tell he had a lot of passion and interest in this area too. So Jeff, you want to talk about yourself a little bit?
Sure. I joined St. Paul's in 2004 and also became active immediately, working on the Board of Outreach, and now I'm on the Board of Youth, and I've conducted the Truth Project video series. This is my sixth time this year. Also supporting the Bible Basics class that we started up in November. So I'm very keen on getting the word to our people any way we can, and member ministry is another way that we can do that, especially helping people come to grips with who they are in Christ and what does that mean to grow that being in Christ, and what does that look like as it works out in our daily lives. So that's really why I got involved with member ministry. I have a passion for helping people find out who they are in Christ and living that out to God's glory each day.
So I already know that you get cool shirts if you're on the member ministry team. That's cool. What else can you tell us about the member ministry team? Maybe go back to why St. Paul's maybe felt it should be formed in the first place, and then a little bit more about what you do if you're on a member ministry team.
Before the member ministry team was founded, we had something called the member ministry leadership team. That was in place for a number of years. And what we did basically is we go and visit people, try and get to know them, have them fill out a survey of what their gifts and abilities and interests were. And we had some success, but it turned out because St. Paul's is a very large congregation, we have over 2,000 members. And so it's really difficult to get to know everyone when you're dealing with that many members. So I know that the staff for a long time really wanted as a priority to have a member ministry coordinator on staff at the church. And that was finally approved, like I said, a couple years ago. And so then we started looking at what's the best way to go about doing this. And we were mentored by Lori Lorig from Crete, Illinois, quite a bit. And what she found at her congregation was most effective was doing workshops. So we started doing what we call discovery workshops. And what these are is people will come in. We started doing them with Friday night and then into Saturday. So it's 5 hours over the 2 days, course of 2 days. And we would look at spiritual gifts, abilities, personality type, personal preference, life experiences, and then what we call passions, that would be, you know, your interests, the things that really move the heart. And we looked at all of those things, do various assessments during the workshop, and really also build in a lot of scripture when we're doing this as well. And after an individual would complete the workshop, we'd meet with them one-on-one with someone called the discovery guide and just sit down and ask them, what did you get out of the workshop? What did you learn, anything new about yourself or maybe someone in your family or what have you? And are you feeling like you'd like to do more at St. Paul's? Are you feeling overwhelmed, like you're doing too much? Or, you know, where are you in your stage of life that has a lot of impact on it too, you know, with your career and your family? And just take all of those things into consideration and see if there's a way that we can somehow equip them to serve in the way that God planned for them to serve.
And some of that then translates, I think, into data. We have a techie audience. Jeff, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how the time they spend in the workshop translates to ministry and how the database maybe forms some of those connections?
Well, what happens is we gather a number of different types of data, and the Access ACS database has been configured to be the depository for that information. So that gets entered as we then take the information from our one-on-ones and from our classes and even from surveys that we've done around the church on a kind of a blitz Sunday. And that information gets put into the database and then can be accessed by a number of St. Paul leaders if they want to put together a, let's say, a group, or they want a certain project to move forward and they need certain kinds of people. You can actually, I was doing this just yesterday, I was looking for a certain personality type. And so I got to see all the people who were one certain personality type. And then I said, well, let's see if it's, what does it give me if I have two personality types, you know, a blended person. And then I got those results. And it's just really cool in helping us get the right person for the right project and getting them into something that they want to be doing. That's really one of the keys of the database.
Right. When we do the abilities section of the Discovery Workshop, or we've done it as a Bible study as well, we'll say to them, this should be an ability that not only do you know how to do, but that you enjoy doing, that you wouldn't mind if someone asked you, you know, to do this. We tell them you're not signing up now for a committee, but your name is now that it's possible if this need arises that someone might call you and ask if you'd be willing to help in this area, because you express that you have a gift in that area and that you enjoy doing it. So the example I give is, if you know how to do taxes but you hate doing taxes, don't check that one off.
Very timely.
In your Discovery Workshop, how did you come up with the questions and the surveys and the data to gather? Was that a program you purchased or something you came up with yourselves? And if you did come up with it yourselves, is something that you'd be willing to share?
Actually, when we started out, it was largely based on what Lori Lorig was doing in Crete, Illinois.
Okay.
Kind enough to share it with us, but she said, don't let it go any further because I don't have really copyright permission to do this. And so we said, well, wait a second. How about if we revise it so that we're using things that are easily accessible by anyone on the internet or you know, those kinds of things. So over last summer, we revised all of the materials so that, yes, now we are very happy to share our materials. There are two things that people who come get. It's the handbook, which is theirs to keep, and this has lots of activities and things in it, lots of Bible passages again, but also other, you know, activities, assessments, and that kinds of thing. And then this is the profile, which the congregation keeps, and this is where all that data that we talked about ends up. And before this is entered, we do sit down with the individual one-on-one to just go through it again and make sure, now is this really, you know, how do you think that your results are accurate? Are you comfortable with us entering this in the database? And then they give us the thumbs up, and then we're ready to go.
All right. So I'm guessing there's other facets to the member ministry team and volunteerism. One area that we like to focus on is making sure that we're recognizing our volunteers, that we're continuing to motivate them and be thankful for their work and let that work shine in front of others and things so that others see those opportunities to volunteer and aren't afraid of them or whatever. Do you have plans in place for thanking volunteers and things like that?
Yeah, we do. We have a person on our team called the Gratitude Fairy.
Sure. I like that.
I gave her that name as a joke, but it sort of stuck. And this last time when she gave her report, Jeff said, so that's the fairy tale. Gratitude Fairy Tale. It was just kind of cute.
So she makes an effort to thank at least one person or group of persons each month. And we just targeted, if you might say that, the ushers, and found out there's over 70 ushers in our church. And so she enlisted the rest of the team. Normally, Shirley does this by herself, And so we all get in the act and we divvied up the people, and so we're pursuing all the ushers, and I think one of the feedbacks was that we got from the other day was this person said, well, I've been doing this for 40 years, and so our response is, well, it's about time we thanked you formally. and so this is a great opportunity for us to recognize people doing service to the Lord and also to encourage them. That's the other part of volunteerism, is to encourage not only through the recognition, but also the thank you.
So you actually hand them a physical thank you note.
A physical thank you, nice. Handwritten. It does have our MM on the back of it, though.
That's so the logo everywhere.
Yes, wow. We try to do good, what's it called, brand awareness?
Awareness, awesome.
So we developed the MM for member ministry with the kind of hidden cross inside. And so we try to put that on all of our brochures, has the MM on it, and all of our materials. So people are starting to... It's taking a while. That would be one thing that I've noticed, is that it's not happening as quickly as we maybe would like. When we first started doing the workshops, for example, people were signing up left and right, and now it's a little harder to get people to come, so we've sort of changed and adapted the materials to do a Bible study between services, because that's a little more convenient, perhaps. More and more we're hoping people will start to understand what member ministry is, that we're not after you to do more. It's not about that. It's more about recognizing what God has done in you and what his plan is for you. It's more of a personal thing. And so it's been a joy, but it's also, like I say, it's maybe had some challenges, some obstacles going forward where, you know, it just takes time. Right.
And one of the things that we see now is it's going to become an educational process where we need to get these scriptures that so clearly point to this aspect as part of our life in Christ before all of our brothers and sisters in a number of different ways. And so we're considering some other avenues, including video clips and using internet, as well as we have a screen in our church that we can project these videos after service. So we're going to try and reach people in every way we can with the message of Scripture about serving Christ.
That's neat. Lots of opportunities for service, I'm sure, in a congregation that size or any size. If you were to maybe counsel or advise somebody just starting to think about creating a member ministry team in these workshops, what advice would you give them? Where do they start?
Well, Lori Lorig has been a huge mentor for us, and I know she's very willing to talk to congregations and help them get going. I'd say put together a team. Find people who are as passionate about member ministry as you are, and when you have a good team, it just encourages you to keep at it, even, you know, if you hit some obstacles along the way. We also have a very supportive staff. That's really important. They understand that every person in the pew has something to contribute, and to take the time. I used to think of member ministry, what can we do for St. Paul's, you know? And now I think, what can we do for her? What can we do for him? When I start thinking about it on an individual basis, I get less discouraged, and I feel like I'm doing more because I'm praying for that individual. I'm looking to see, is there any way we can help that individual? And I feel like that's what God is calling me to do, more so than just, you know, wow the congregation with how member ministry is amazing. I can just look at an individual and see, what do they need? How can they feel a valuable part of the
team? This is a very personal process, and part of our desire is to help people understand this. This isn't about the corporate church, so to speak. This is very intimate and personal, connected with our relationship with Christ.
Great point. I say too, whether you're trying to figure out a change of career or if you're changing diapers, the Lord is interested in what you're doing and where you're at, and he has a purpose for your life. And you can know that what you do matters, no matter what it is.
Excellent. Boy, I think that's a good note to end on. What do you think, Martin?
Very awesome. Good. That's encouraging, and to see that happen on in so many different ways, and I'm sure it can happen in all of our churches. There's really no reason not to spend, you know, all the energy you can on a ministry that really addresses soul by soul by soul. That's very neat.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much. We appreciate your time, and look forward to hearing more about member ministry efforts in the future. So keep us in mind as we develop new things as well. Excellent.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you guys.
Nice meeting you too.
Thank you, first of all, to you, Sally, for taking the time to get over there and sit with them. That was kind of fun with Lynette and Jeff. You could tell they were owners. They were invested in what they were doing, and it really seemed like they were having fun as well. So they were throwing themselves into everything that they were doing, and looked like they had some great results there. I mean, you've probably seen it firsthand.
Definitely. And they have some great resources as well. Lynette showed those during our conversation, and she also shared them with us. So we'll have links associated with the book. We're going to archive their Discovery Workshop PowerPoint, which includes all their speaker notes as well, and a copy of their participant handbook and participant profile. And those are available in Word format as well as PDF. So again, you're welcome to customize those and make use of them in your own congregations.
Very good. The next segment in the book was the building, we call it the building owners segment, and give an example of how Nehemiah transformed this workforce from renters into owners, and that really needs to happen in our own projects as well. And there are a number of tools to be able to do that, to bring these people together, to encourage people, to communicate with these people on a regular basis, to share God's word with them, to provide help when needed. One of those tools that we talk about is another one from Google, Google Groups. Now, we haven't mentioned Google Groups very often, I think, on the show, but there is a lot of potential, I think, with a Google Groups kind of concept, which, if you're not familiar with Google Groups, it's essentially an email list, which you can send an email to one address and have it go out to multiple recipients. So it's a distribution list. But it also has an online component, so it's a little bit different than some other lists where you have a kind of a threaded discussion. So not only are you emailing out, but those emails are captured in an online format where people can come in and participate in a conversation that way as well. So this is a simple thing that you could set up. You can set it up with a custom email address. So if you're starting a VBS this summer, you could customize your email to say St. Paul's VBS 2016 at googlegroups.com. And then you just share that out. People have an opportunity to send to the list. They can subscribe and then even actually tell the list how often they want to receive those emails. So maybe they want to digest just at the end of the day or at the beginning of a day rather than getting all the emails as they're coming through. Great way to kind of keep the lines of communication open across the project team and build this ownership.
And I'm a believer. I can give you a firsthand experience. We use it actually with our Treasure House Board of Directors and spent about a year struggling with making sure I had everyone's email address and everything that I sent out. And some people would get copied and others wouldn't, and there was all this email floating around. Finally, I set up an email address board at treasurehouse.org, and we all get that email, and we're confident that everybody's receiving it and everything, and it just makes life so much simpler to be able to use that. And yes, I have looked back at the archive and dug up past email conversations without having to archive everything myself in my email folders. It's all securely stored there in the group web presence. So yep. I really appreciate Google
Good search
Groups.
Tool there. You can do Definitely. Attachments as well, and it captures the attachments up to a certain file size. So yeah, it can really be the brains of the communication that goes on within a group. So yep, great tool. If you want to take that up maybe even a notch higher, there are a lot of sites that do this. Sometimes you can get lost in all the different options for organizing volunteers. One that we would recommend is a site called volunteerspot.com. It's been mentioned on the show before. It's an online service, but it provides a lot of different really volunteer-friendly or volunteer-specific tools, like unlimited activities, sign-up sheets, participant groups, custom group pages, calendars, unlimited email, invitation tracking, announcements, thank you notes, shift scheduling and swapping, automated email reminders, et cetera, et cetera. So there are a lot of opportunities to kind of amp up your game a little bit if you're, especially in mid to larger size projects, this might be something that you would take a look at. Even if you don't use the service, VolunteerSpot has a lot of resources about you know, just managing volunteers in general. I think we've referenced some of their articles before. So that's volunteerspot.com.
Yep. We should move on then into that last segment, and maybe it's a little bit more challenging, not that we can apply tech tools to it, but that you inspire your volunteers to understand that they're working for something bigger, for a bigger cause. And probably the best tip there is to believe it yourself as a leader and live it and share it by your example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that becomes apparent the more you kind of focus on the real objective, and that's to serve God and be good stewards of His resources. And I think one technical tool that would probably apply here is the effective use of social networks. As you're continuing to get to know each other, as you're modeling through that, I mean, that's your virtual connection to everybody, and you have an opportunity rather than like in the formality of an email, you have the ability to do a little bit more in a social setting. So that's just another one of those opportunities to kind of blend a couple of these concepts of community and then modeling and getting people together through these social networks and using some of the communication tools that are available to that. One of the spotlights we use or tool times we use here in this chapter is Facebook Messenger. Lot of ways to use that, and we've talked about that in the very recent past. It was a pick of mine a couple weeks ago where Facebook has really added a lot of nice features that allow kind of a constant communication thread where you could include images and not just text messages, but images and pictures and audio file recording, and you could actually make phone calls and video calls through this. Lots of different things that they've made available, and it's available right in the palm of your hand. You know, whether you're on an Android or iOS device or on the web, you have all these tools, and it just kind of keeps people connected, growing together, seeing, hey, this is a group, and this is not just an individual activity.
Yep. And then the last part of the chapter moves into some smaller other consideration type things around volunteers. I mentioned one at the beginning, and that's burnout, that you don't want to use these people up who are so ready to help and cause them to not want to come back and help again. But I think there's several things that fall in this category, Martin.
Yeah, we could spend a whole chapter on each one of these. You got to think about liability. You know, anytime you have volunteers and they're not just with physical labor and those kinds of things, but also all the things that can happen online, handling of money, dealing with children, all those kinds of things fall into that liability category. So make sure that you understand what the liability risks are. Work with the church administration to make sure that things are covered along those lines. Conflict is always a big one. We talked about that in a previous chapter, but that's always something you have to deal with. There are going to be a lot of sinners in your group, in fact, all of them. And so you need to make sure that you anticipate that and know how to deal with conflict. Same with criticism. There's always going to be, you know, the chance that somebody will not agree with the approach that you're taking, or maybe even within the group. So you have to handle that. Strong personalities kind of go along with that as well. And those can be both a blessing and a challenge. You want those passionate people, but sometimes they can dominate and drive, and you know, you may not necessarily want that to happen. So those are just some of the things that you may want to think about as you're leading these volunteers.
And you know the old adage, if you prepare for it, then hopefully it's not going to happen. But you've given it the careful consideration, and you have a plan or an idea in mind of how you'll handle those things, and hopefully you won't have to pull that out of the hat. So
right. And then the last segment we have is on giving thanks. And that should go without saying, but it's something you really want to think about, strategize about. How are you going to do it? Certainly you want to give thanks to the volunteers one-on-one And, you know, whether that be through just a word of thanks or something more monetary, you know, maybe it's a gift or a Christmas ornament or, you know, whatever it is. So we give some resources there. But also think about giving thanks in a more public way, and that's where social networks can come in, where other people maybe can join in with that Thanksgiving. So just be careful, obviously, with that. Some people want to just kind of blend into the woodwork, but I think it's always nice to be recognized in a more public way. And then finally, make sure that you're giving thanks to the person who made it all possible, and that's God himself, so that reinforces the fact that this is not our work, that this is God's work. So
maybe I missed it, Martin, but I think that you had a Pinterest link in this section
of the
chapter. Wouldn't want to, you know, slide right past that. There's even Pinterest boards with ideas for ways to give thanks to volunteers and donors. So great resource that's included there.
Came up with that all by myself. Yeah,
wow.
I bet you didn't know I could do that.
Impressive.
So that's the chapter. Again, this is a work in progress. We're on chapter 6, but you know, we're going to go back at some point and make edits and kind of bring this all together, and we would love your feedback. So if you wouldn't mind, take the time to go to our website or go to the website of the book itself, because we're putting this all out there, with allyourheart.tech. And then you'll see all of the chapters that are there. You can dive into any one of them, and one that's of interest to you, give us some great feedback so we can include that in the book too.
Yep, been quite the experience to co-author a book with you, Martin, or actually to kind of watch you write a book and help you along. So, fun stuff.
It's definitely a team effort. So, and I'm enjoying the process as well. Although it seems to, that time of the month where we have to write the chapter seems to come up quicker and quicker. So,
yeah.
All right, let's move along to our news in tech section. And we've got, let me see if I can pull this up. Some news about Twitter. And all right, it's not cooperating. There we go. This is an article from Yahoo, actually Yahoo Sports. I have no idea why it's in the sports section. But it talks a little bit about how Twitter is changing how things will appear in your Twitter feed. So up till now, you probably, if you use Twitter, noticed that it is somewhat chronological. They will insert some ads, and they'll insert, you know, kind of a what you missed section. You've probably noticed that lately. But now they're going to kind of do something that Facebook has been doing for a long time, and that's kind of try and anticipate what you're most interested in through some kind of a logarithm that will say, yeah, I think you would enjoy these and you don't want to miss these, so we're going to put those at the top of your feed. So there's been a little bit of backlash, as you might imagine. So we'll have to kind of wait and see. I use Twitter a lot for, you know, some, you know, almost the news. And if it's not in chronological order, I'm not sure if I'm going to like the way they've done this. And hopefully there's a way to kind of change that or configure that the way you want it to go. But just be aware of that as you open up Twitter one of these days in the future. They might it might not be exactly what you think it should be. So that's the news out of Twitter, unfortunately.
So verdict's still out. We may love it. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you're not a big Twitter user anyway, so this really doesn't affect you at all, does it?
No, but I live in that kind of world in Facebook for sure, so I know what you're talking
about.
How
do you like it? How do you do your Facebook? Do you just let it come in as Facebook gives it to you, or do you kind of go in and tweak that setting that says, show me the most recent?
You know, as you were talking, I was just kind of reflecting on that. I know I've tweaked it many times in the past, but it seems to kind of revert.
Doesn't seem to stick, does it?
Yeah, exactly. So I just live with it. And
you give up.
Figure it out.
Just give it to me, Facebook.
Go with the flow. There you go.
But Pinterest, it's where whatever you pin just kind of stays there, doesn't it?
It does. Got to be able to rely on some social network. I'm glad it's Pinterest.
That's right. We'll all be on Pinterest before it's all over. So,
heard it here, folks.
Let's move on to Wells Now.
Sure. A quick mention and reminder of our Together newsletter comes out of the president's office, actually, and has a lot of great news of the Synod. Typically comes out twice a month, I believe, but they've added something new, and that's video updates, kind of interspersed with the print e-news that comes out, or the text-based e-news. They now have video updates as well, and so definitely worth subscribing to together if you haven't already. There's a subscribe link right on the page, and I'm excited to see the videos and the use of video expanding as a Synod communication tool.
Yep, this is a natural, I think, to go video, and we've got the studio, and Lee Hitter, our communications director, is really good at kind of putting this stuff together, so kudos to him and his team for making this happen, and I think video is certainly something that should maybe increase the reach of the news, so hopefully that's what's going to happen.
Definitely. It's one thing to read about ministry going on in Ethiopia, but if you watch this most recent video update, you can actually see it, and that speaks a thousand more words than the text, for sure.
Yep. Speaking of photos, Sally.
Yeah, speaking of photos, we have a little photo challenge going on right now. Throughout this season of Wells Tech, we're doing a monthly photo challenge, and for February, our challenge topics are worship, love, and the verse 1 John 3:18, which talks about love being an action. And I just want to point out we have a very active photo album that's growing by the day. Currently, 455 photos have been submitted to our challenge album. And I just have to give a special shout out to Naomi Green, who's been very faithful in submitting photos all throughout, and just recently bombarded us with worship, love, and 1 John 3:18 photos. And I just am so excited about the growth of the photo album and all the things that are available here, some beautiful worship images that Naomi provided. And actually, I used one of her images related to love to create a verse image for 1 John 4, verse 10, cool. And shared this on Valentine's Day. And I think that's a really great use of these images. If you enjoy doing verse images or whatever, here's a collection of royalty-free public domain images at your disposal that you can use to create such things. So
I think the neat thing about what she sometimes submits is she's laid out the video, or not the video, the image itself, to allow for text, your own text, to be placed, you know, on the image. Just well done. A lot of forethought.
Definitely.
So keep them coming.
Yeah, find time to speak to her in an interview in the future. So
yeah. How do people submit to that, Sally, again?
Great question. They can go to wellstech.wells.net/photo-challenge. You'll find all the information, the online form for uploading your images, as well as information about some really nice swag that we'll be giving away, I think, in August of this year when we've completed the full year of the photo challenge.
Very nice. Plus, we do have some of those nice screen cleaners available just for your submission. So no matter how.
I used mine the other day to clean my camera lens. So lots of uses for those.
Okay. Let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
All right. I kind of have a hack pick for you, Martin, and it grew out of a need that I had actually related to Treasure House, because one of the things we've done with Treasure House and opening in a new location is we actually commissioned a new logo, and we actually opened it up to MVL students and MVL alumni because we wanted the logo to come from MVL, and one of the alumni submitted something really awesome. Let's see if I can share the right screen. And we had her submit it both as a PNG, so a typical small format, you know, not heavy or large in file size or whatever, but we also wanted an EPS or some vector-based format so that we could resize, we could give it to use it for print purposes and all those kind of things. So we got an EPS, talented designer provided us one, and I know that that's important, but I don't have Photoshop or Photoshop skills to actually work with that vector image and do what I want with it. So I Googled it and I found an interesting article. We'll have a link in the show notes that talks about using PowerPoint. So I have my PowerPoint open here and I'm going to give you a quick demo on how you can work with layered vector images in PowerPoint. So I'm actually going to open a picture on a blank PowerPoint slide, and it's an EPS, and it comes right in to PowerPoint. And you can actually right-click on the image and in the group function, choose ungroup. It'll give you a little pop-up message, and you can say yes. And I actually, after you see that message, you need to ungroup it one more time. And then once you do, you can see that all the individual components of that image have their own selectable icons around them. So you could do things with individual components, like resize or whatever your desire is, right here in PowerPoint without having any Photoshop installed or experience or anything. Just a nice little hack. I actually wanted this hanger, and if I were to show you the Treasure House page, you could see that I took just the hanger, which is pretty creatively done. I'm going to copy it to my clipboard with a Control C and open up a new slide, and I'm going to paste it. The challenge is it's a white hanger and it's a white slide, so you can't see it there. But because I have it there, I can actually go in and change the fill color or whatever it is. I can use my shift key to lock the proportion and resize it. And now if you're watching the video, you can see that the hanger was really cleverly done, building in a recycling type sign for the resale shop component. So it has arrows on each end of the hanger. And I took that hanger image by itself then, because I could carve it out of the full logo easily. And I saved that so that I could use it as our profile image on the Treasure House Facebook page. So kind of a roundabout story, but I thought it was a really great hack. I didn't learn Photoshop in the process, but I got to the individual image components that I wanted to put my hands on and could change colors and sizes and carve them out easily just using PowerPoint of all things. So
that's a great
tip.
There
you have it.
Because sometimes,
yeah.
Very often, when you purchase or download clip art, it will come in a vector format. And if you're not quite enchanted with the colors or the dimensions or whatever, if you just want to tweak it like you did, that's a great tip to use PowerPoint. I'm a little disappointed PicMonkey does not provide that for you, though.
Jab, jab. I'm sure it would if I dug a little deeper. No,
it's in there somewhere.
Not that tool.
No,
I think
it's not.
That,
there are some online
the other one. There's another freebie, Pixel. I can't remember the name of it, but it does have layered capabilities.
Yep.
So
this is something that most people have too. So this is awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. My pick is a website, and it's something that I've been spending a lot of time with lately, and that is the Wells Hymnal Project. The Wells Hymnal Project has its very own website. You may know that there's a new hymnal in the works. Now, it's not for a number of years here in the future, but we've created this website to keep everybody posted. You can go to wellshymnal.com and sign up for a mailing list, but you also get other kinds of resources here. There's a forum. There are blogs that you can respond to, and some of these blog topics are really, well, all of them are really well done, but you get not only reports, and those are fairly frequent coming from the team, but all kinds of other concepts that the hymnal committee is considering as we go forward. So I serve on the technology committee, and one of the things that we're talking about quite a bit is projection in worship. So Kayla Bassett, our chairman, wrote an article about that. So he's encouraging people to continue the dialogue. We have surveys that come out. There's all kinds of things that you might be interested with in as you're considering this very important project. The homepage of the Hymnal Project website has a big bold title here, says "For a Generation Yet Unborn," and that's kind of a heady thing as we're building a hymnal for our kids or our grandkids. And so the work that we're doing has far-reaching ramifications. So there's all kinds of things that I think you would enjoy here. There is a speakers bureau page, so if your church might be interested in having somebody come out and talk about the Hymnal Project to your group, that would be a place to find out who those people would be. There's a resources section, just all kinds of things that you can grab and kind of stay up to date as the Hymnal Project moves along. So if you have any interest in that, go to wellshymnal.com and check out what they have there, or at least subscribe to the mailing list. If you do subscribe to the mailing list, it's not like something comes out every day. It's a fairly slow trickle of information, so you're not going to get overwhelmed, but you can stay up to date on the Wells Hymnal Project. And on Wells Tech, we even interviewed the hymnal director. It's probably 6-8 months ago. Pastor Mike Schultz shared some information with us, and he probably brought up this website then too, but just a reminder as my pick of the week.
Excellent. Thanks for the work that you do on that, Martin. I always get excited. I kind of like that they aren't just bombarding me with articles, but when they do come out and I receive the email notification, it's always something special to go and read and keep up with and be excited about the project. So, yep. And that whole generation yet unborn, do you remember what year the current hymnal came out?
93, I want to say. Yep.
That's correct. I remember it well because I had just gotten married that year, and I remember being excited about the new hymnal. And yeah, my children were not born at that time. So it was definitely a hymnal that they grew up with and had a big impact on them. So I can see that being an interesting thing to consider.
Yeah. And it's fun to think about what worship is going to be like for years in the future. And that's one of our jobs on the technology committee, is trying to anticipate that. What would the pastor like as far as digital products? You know, are we going to have iPads in the hands of everybody, or tablets in the hands of the worshipers versus hymnals? What about projection on big screens? Those kinds of things are all questions we're struggling with, but it's kind of fun to think about.
Cool.
Let's move on to ministry resources. We are in the season of Lent, so I have a sneaking suspicion this might have something to do with that.
It does, and perhaps it's worthy of projecting on those large screens at some point. It's a video from our friends at Concordia Publishing House, and it's called What is Lent? I'll just let it roll a little bit. If you're watching the video, you might see it unfold. Very well done. And closed captioning included, so something for everyone. And it just starts with repentance, you know, and the need for repentance, and talks about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I think worthy of tucking away in your teaching arsenal to use in different settings.
Yep, could be shown at Bible class, could be embedded on your website. Lots of opportunities to use this, and it's really well done. We talked about it about this time last year, and they made it available again. So, speaking of videos, we have a featured video this week.
We do, and I'll just pop over to that tab. It's from our friends at St. Paul's in New Ulm. We've talked about this one before on the podcast, Martin, but worth a repeat. You'll actually recognize Lynette Charlemagne right there in the video. These are all people involved with member ministry at St. Paul's, and they did a music video to a song called Do Something. And as I understand it, the original music video for the song is in this similar format where they have people holding different signs, and they recruited us to come and be a part of this. Me and my family are actually in here somewhere. Really fun project to be a part of, but also definitely demonstrates that volunteerism and all the different ways different personalities and gifts can be used in the church setting to show the love of Jesus.
Very nice. That is about all we've got for this show. Used up our time, but we will be back next week, and we will be fully loaded with community feedback. So there is a whole week yet to get your feedback in. That can be about anything we've talked about on the show. It can be new ideas you'd like us to talk about or consider, tools that you use, websites that you visit, resources that you use in your ministry where that intersects with technology. So community feedback is going to be our show next week, and the way you can give us that feedback is through our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. You find there all kinds of links in the upper right, all the social networks we're involved with, and we do troll those once in a while to make sure that we're capturing everything from everybody, and we put it in this once a month show we call Community Feedback. If you are just wanting to send us an email, you can do that too, wellstech@wells.net. Sally, we should mention, I overlooked it earlier on in the show, the listserv is, or our mailing list, is one of those things that gets a lot of traffic. And it's one of my go-tos when we've got questions or surveys or people are curious about different things. And it's one of the biggest lists that we have. The news is, in that regard, that we are switching the technology that feeds that listserv. So we will be actually switching to Google Groups. So we'll have more information on that in the next week or so. So just make sure you're paying attention to that. And then you should get a new invite to join a Google group where that listserv will carry on. So we hope to kind of get everybody over to the new system, but also maybe even encourage more people to join in the fun. We have about 500 subscribers to that. So we don't want to lose any of them. So pass the word around that, hey, we're starting kind of afresh in a new listserv using Google Groups. So I think you'll like the experience. There's some advantages to doing that.
Looking forward to it. Change is always good, right?
Yeah, we'll see. okay. All right. So that's the... I think that's going to do it for our show. Thank you, Sally, for everything you do. Enjoy it each and every week. And thank all of you for joining us. It's wonderful to have you tuned in each and every week as well. So we will see you next week. God's blessings on your Lenten journey. Bye-bye.